We're going to make a start. It's past 6 o'clock, and we have some praying to do. But we're going to begin with some scripture, and I want to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. That would be now. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. This is a time tonight to give thanks, to look back over God's wonderful faithfulness to us as a congregation. I was at a presbytery meeting yesterday, and I stood up and gave an announcement that our church was celebrating its 225th anniversary, planted in 1795. One or two of you can remember that, but most of you can't. But we also want to look ahead. As the 225 committee that Lanny Lambert has so wonderfully chaired over the last 6 months have put this together, the logo, as you see, has 225 in Latin numerals, but it also has a beginning. It's just the beginning of, in God's goodness and mercy, much more blessing to come. Now, we're going to follow this program this evening, and Dr. Glenn Kinect and Sinclair Ferguson have written prayers that are going to be read, and I'm sure that you'll want to keep these prayers and keep this bulletin, and there are some extra ones at the back. But we're going to start with singing, and we're going to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," and let's stand and do that.
As thou hast been
Be seated. Now we asked Dr. Glenn Connett, who plans to be with us for the 225 celebrations. He and his wife at this moment planning to come and be here for that celebration, but we reached out to him and asked him if he would be kind enough to write a prayer reflecting on the past 25 years. In particular, but also going back a little bit further than that into the duration of his own ministry here among us. And Randy Folks is going to come and read this prayer.
Let's pray together. Eternal and ever-blessed God, we cannot pray as we ought, expressing our love and gratitude for your great kindness in establishing our church so long ago as a vital part of your kingdom on earth. Yet today we offer our heartfelt thanks for what you have done and recognize your sovereign will and gracious hand in our history. We praise you for putting in the hearts of Thomas Taylor and Benjamin Waring to invite David Dunlap to plant a church in this city. They recognized how important it is to a young town to grow up with a Sabbath day observance. We marvel at the courage and perseverance of David and Susanna Dunlap as they faced the heat, the cold, the mosquitoes, and the rain of Columbia. You enabled them to serve for 10 years before they laid their lives down together to rest from their great labors. Thank you for the seed they planted, which we now observe as harvest and fruit. For the elders who agonized in prayer for the revival all through our history, you graciously gave seasons of spiritual refreshment in answer. How is it, Lord, that you gave us such giants for our pulpit as Benjamin Palmer, James Thornwell, John Girardeau, Samuel Smith, Andrew Blackwood, Sinclair Ferguson, and Derek Thomas, for the learning and elegance they brought to our worship and the spirits enabling them to communicate the gospel so clearly and effectively? We give you thanks. Your mighty presence was with us through the dark days of war. 67 went to battle, and 24 did not return to their homes. You held our church together in those trying times and comforted widows and children. You preserved our ancestors through times of epidemic, fire, and poverty. When we had no elder candidates, you took 17 and 18-year-old members and made them leaders. When fire destroyed our house of worship, you gave grace and courage to rebuild and kept the people strong and resolved to continue the ministry of this church. You provided the impetus when the Iron Curtain fell to enter Europe with the gospel, making Ukraine our focus. There you directed us clearly to Vinnytsia, where we enabled through your provision the completion of a marvelous church building, which stands today as a symbol of our partnership with that congregation. Since that time, you've given us the grace and support to have annual visits to encourage our friends in that church. They have gone into rural ministry. You sent out dental and medical teams for their well-being, established a radio ministry, and brought their pastors here for training and fellowship. We thank you for giving us the Frank C. Hill Center for World Missions and our continuing involvement with the believers in Pakistan and Wales and numerous other fields of service. You helped us see the need for providing for our seniors in a lovely setting near the river. You sent the plans and funds for the Laurel Crest Center, which continues this ministry long after our people founded it. We thank you for the place of music and song in our history. You've given us musical geniuses like Arpad Daraj, Larry Wyatt, Fred Parker, Ron Miller, Daniel Cole, and Thomas Russell to enhance our worship and lift up exquisite programs at Christmas and Easter that gather the community. You sent surges of spiritual awakening, which brought new converts in groups of 50 or more and brought great joy to us. You called our elders to plan for and carry out a celebration of our 200th anniversary of God's faithfulness and gave us Dr. David Calhoun's helpful book so that generations to come will remember the great work that you have done among us. You have given us a ministry to local colleges and universities and to many Christian enterprises across the city to extend our reach. We praise you, for you have enabled us to capture the heart of Columbia in buildings that have been added to our campus to house Erskine Seminary's satellite ministry under Dr. Mark Ross's leadership. You've given us a spiritual counseling center, a building for administration, the Wardlaw Auditorium for lectures, a family life center, and a renewed Thornwell Hall and Palmer Center. We rejoice in your giving to us a unique ministry for rediscovering the doctrine of adoption in theology, which led to a new emphasis in Christian family life. You've called us to emphasize the central purpose of Sabbath day observance, which is the sanctification of the church and all its members. For these and all your great benefits to us, we raise our voices and our worship in grateful praise, for it is all of your grace and mercy and power. All honor and glory be to our glorious God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And I would add to that list of names, Dr. John R. DeWitt. We wouldn't be sitting in this room tonight if it hadn't been for his vision and labors. Now, we're going to split into little groups, so form little groups. I know this is slightly awkward, but you know, whichever ones you want to sort of group up with. And we're going to have you praying together, maybe forming 10 or so groups. If you want to turn your chairs a little, do that. And in this time of prayer, focus in particular on the past, but you don't have to go all the way back to 1795, and you can pray for things that you personally remember. Heavenly Father, as we continue in your presence, we thank you for covenant love and covenant mercy that has been part of our narrative from the very beginning. We are mindful of how great you are, of the extraordinary privileges and blessings with which you have blessed us. Now hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can I suggest you stay exactly where you are without moving your chairs? And if you have your backs to me, that's fine. We can handle that. Somebody has a phone going off, like a continual alarm. And if that is yours, if you could turn that off, that would be great. So we have another prayer, and this time Elder Lee Harvin praying on behalf of church officers.
If any ordained elder or deacon that is present tonight, if you would stand and recite with me the prayer before us. And ministers, we'll let them participate. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather to celebrate the 225th anniversary of First Presbyterian Church in Columbia, our hearts are filled with true joy and gratitude. We are reminded of your faithfulness and the many blessings that you have poured out upon this church over these 2.25 centuries. We thank you for the ministers who have filled our pulpit and who've ministered to us and faithfully preached from the sacred scriptures. We also express our gratitude for the many church officers who have exhibited and provided excellent leadership as deacons and elders during this time. We give you thanks and pray for our current leadership. Grant them wisdom and every measure of grace needed as they seek to faithfully perform all their responsibilities while caring for and shepherding this congregation. Lastly, Father, we ask for your continued grace and blessings upon this church, that you would continue to provide it with godly leaders who will always seek to promote the unity, peace, and prosperity of this church, who is the bride of your beloved Son. Grant them humble hearts and complete reliance upon you. May all they do be according to your will and bring you honor and glory now and forevermore. In Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen.
And on behalf of the women of the church, I'm going to ask Kathy Davis to come.
Ladies, would you stand and pray this with me, please? Father, we adore you. We praise you that you are sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing, holy, Lord God Almighty. Thank you for the roles that you have given us as women in your kingdom. Help us to shine like the brightness of the sky above as we serve you wherever you have placed us, in our homes, in our schools, in the marketplace, in highly visible places, and in quiet, unseen ones. Help us to be bearers of your image, of your grace, mercy, and love as we minister to others as friends and sisters in Christ, as daughters, as wives, as mothers and grandmothers. May we be your sweet fragrance to all that we touch. The enemy is roaring in this world we live in, seeking to destroy that which you created and love, our families and our marriages. Would you place a hedge of protection around them and fill us with the courage to take up our positions and stand firm on your truths? Help us to fight the battle for them, not with weapons of the world, but with your divine weapons, prayer, and the Word of God. Lord, make us not just women who pray, but women who live praying lives. Enable us to hold up the arms of others when they grow tired and weary in the battle. Work through us to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received, and use us as encouragers, exhorters, and hope givers. We pray you would grow in us confident, unshakable faith that will not be tossed by the wind and the waves. Help us to trust you when we do not understand, and to believe you when we cannot see. Father, protect us as women from the lures and distractions of this world. May our identity be found in you alone, and may the adornment that we desire for ourselves be the hidden person of the heart, the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. We boldly pray for our children, our grandchildren, and for the generations to come. Protect them by the power of your name and claim them for your own. Keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. May we be diligent and faithful in grounding these precious ones in that truth. Help us to love them with unclenched hands and hearts, knowing that your plans and your ways are not our ways. Your plans are perfect love and pure wisdom. We desire your ways above any success, pleasure, or comfort this world has to offer. Move our children to seek you with all of their heart, soul, and mind. Create in them pure hearts and establish them in the love of Christ. Father, would you bring those into their lives who would continually point them to you? Remove all those who would draw them away. May they always hear your voice behind them saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Help us live with an eternal perspective and full dependence on you. May our strength, our peace, and our expectant hope rest solely in the assurance of who you are and in Christ our Savior's finished work on the cross. In the powerful and victorious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We segue now into thinking about the present, and join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our church, for the providence that brought us to join this church and meet these, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are grateful to you for the way our church has ministered to us in so many different ways. The sermons, the Bible studies, the times of fellowship together, the community that comes around us in times of need, the friendships we have made, and so much more. We are especially thankful for new ministries that have recently begun to take shape among the women of the church, the seniors, local college students, and young professionals. We thank you for our mentoring program and the hundreds that have gone through it and grown as a result. We are grateful to you for the staff and ministers of the church who help all of us fulfill our calling to be like a city set on a hill. Father, we desire to be even more effective in reaching out to our city. We are thankful for the way we get to partner with so many local missions in our city who care for those with great needs. We are thankful, too, for those in our church who are prepared to go overseas on mission trips to grow your kingdom worldwide. We thank you for the leadership of our elders and deacons as they seek to direct our church in a climate of increasing hostility to the scriptures and its countercultural worldview. Give them courage and tenacity, winsomely, to hold on to the truth, whatever the cost may be. Watch over us, we pray. Keep us faithful to you today, tomorrow, and until Jesus comes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's have another round of prayers in your little circle, and this time concentrating on today and the future. And let me ask you especially to pray for all that has been planned for the 2-5 celebration, which is to begin 2 weeks from today. We don't know where this virus thing is going, and each day it brings forth new stories. But for those of you who weren't here at lunchtime today, I did actually touch on it to quite some extent, because it seemed appropriate from the passage I was preaching on in Habakkuk chapter 3 that mentions God sending pestilence and disease, and it seemed appropriate to open this door. And the main emphasis of Habakkuk 3 is a lesson that Habakkuk has learnt in a time when his own culture was entirely collapsing, and the world in 10 or 12 years from the time he was writing this psalm that he writes in Habakkuk 3, his world was about to change entirely, and Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, and he and others would be taken into captivity in Babylon, 1,000 miles away. And the lesson that he had learned was to trust the Lord and not to panic. Some of us are about to press the panic button, but I urge you not to. Trust in the Lord and wait upon him. And make that especially part of the prayer time that we're about to have. And again, in a few moments, I'll close this section and segue to another section. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we continue in your presence, we are mindful that Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." We realize that that's a statement that isn't true of every single congregation. And indeed, in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus threatened to remove the life stone from churches in Asia Minor. And therefore we ask for your grace and help to always persevere, always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. So hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we also reached out to Dr. Ferguson to write a prayer for us for the future of our church. And I'm going to ask Elder Lanny Lambert if he would come and read this prayer to us.
I had the privilege of spending 5 years at his side as his clerk, but I did not pick up his Scottish brogue. So if you will just close your eyes and just listen as if you were listening to his Scottish brogue, I'll try to do his prayer justice. Let us pray. Our great God and Father, and God of our fathers, you are worthy of all praise for the blessings you have poured out on our congregation here down through these 225 years. We thank you for those who have first brought the gospel to Columbia and for the way your Spirit prompted the founding of the First Presbyterian Church family here. Thank you for preserving the good seed of your word they planted, and for blessing those who in successive generations watered it. We marvel at the increase you have given from those early days, and with all our hearts praise you for it. You are the one who has given it, for surely your hand, O God, has guided your flock from age to age. For those whose names are known to us, for our walks through the church, our churchyard, and for the pages of our church history, we thank you. We rejoice, too, in the unremembered saints who, in worship and prayer, mutual love and steady witness, enabled our church to continue faithful to this day. With joy, we acknowledge that others have labored here over the centuries, and it is our privilege to have entered into their labors. Lord, thank you for the blessings you have showered upon us here in our own lifetime, for keeping us focused on your Son and anchored in your Word, and giving us this place whose very stones we love. Thank you, too, for the privilege of belonging to this bundle of life in Christ, composed of every age and stage, for the variety of gifts you have given to us for ministry to each other, and for enabling us to seek together the welfare of our city. Thank you, too, for those you have called from here to go to the ends of the earth. Be with them today and bless their service in your kingdom. Lord, surely our cup runs over. Your goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our lives. But we pray for more. We need you every hour, most gracious Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us in fresh ways. Empower those who preach your word to us. Give wisdom to our elders as they lead us. Discernment to our deacons as they minister among us. Encouragement to our staff as they serve us. Indeed, grant your promised presence and blessing to all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, from the strongest to the weakest. May we see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly day by day. Father, answer the prayers of your Son, our Lord Jesus, made for us, that our church may be kept faithful until he comes again. Until that day, enable us to live together in love just as, through the Spirit, he lives in your love and you in his. Grant his request that thus even strangers will see his transforming power among us and be drawn to trust him too. Father, make the days of thanksgiving and celebration of time a fresh dedication to you. Help us to grow in knowing you, in loving your Son, and in walking in the Spirit, serving each other with humility and joy. With deep thankfulness and praise for all your mercies toward us, that we now commit ourselves afresh to you and to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, as I was saying, that's a beautiful prayer, and I'm sure that you want to keep a copy of it. And maybe read it every now and then in reminder of Glenn Kinnecht or in this case, Sinclair Ferguson. They seem timeless in their expressions. I do want to thank Carolyn Whiting. There were others too, but Carolyn was the one who had the vision for this prayer meeting. We really wanted it next week, the week before, 2-5, but many of us are going to be at Ligonier next week. But it was a wonderful thought and the right thing, I think, for us to have done. And much of the ideas that have gone into this evening came from Carolyn and her little committee. So thank you so much for that. Chef tells me that there are some 35 sandwiches and chips left over, and he's either going to toss them or you can take one home. I do not want to see YouTube movies of fights in the small dining room over these extra sandwiches. So if you can quietly and discreetly just take one home if you want. Otherwise, they're just going to be tossed. Let's sing together again what seems like an appropriate hymn. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Now may the grace of God, the Holy Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.